the essential notion of suffering that the Buddhists put out. Like, we're attached to the past being different than it was, and we can't ever change that, so we suffer. We suffer. The person whom we're upset with doesn't suffer from our unforgiveness, but we suffer because we're hanging on to this grudge that is full of toxicity and anger, and it may be very justified, and I get it. But when we ultimately surrender and become willing to say, how can I let this go? What I think we have to understand is that forgiveness is surrendering that past experience, and what it does is it frees us. It frees us to be in the now moment. It frees us to get on with our lives and not have that past experience in our field, if you will, of consciousness, our field of energy, and create a whole new experience of living if we're willing to do it.
Welcome. I'm Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Every day, you give so much of yourself to those you love. Through this podcast, I'll guide you on a journey to reawaken the greatness that lies within you. In each episode, you'll hear incredible stories of transformation from me and my guests that will inspire you to design and manifest a life that is in harmony with your soul's purpose. You are meant to live the life you'd love. Let me show you how. Welcome, everyone. This is To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis, and I am Dawn Mathis, the owner of In Situ Life Works. And today, we have with us once again Reverend Dr. Michelle Medrano from Mile High Church in Lakewood, Colorado. She is also, other than working at Mile High Church, she is also the author of the best-selling book, Resolve Your Fears, Activate Your Spiritual Immune System. So Dr. Michelle, like I said, was a previous guest on the podcast about fear, and today she's with us covering another much-needed topic, forgiveness. Because, you see, there is, in the land of our vision, a gap. We have our current set of circumstances, our current results in our life, where we are right now, today, and where we want to be in the land of our vision and our dreams fulfilled. So there's that gap. And there are three stumbling blocks that can accost us in this gap when we're on our way from our current life to the life we would love to live. The first is fear and paradigms. And we have talked about paradigms and we've talked about fear. And as I mentioned, Dr. Michelle addressed fear on her first guest appearance with us. So today we're going to talk about the second block, lack of forgiveness. And this is part one of a two-part series. And I am so grateful and so eager to get started with this with Dr. Michelle. Dr. Michelle,
thank
welcome.
You. It's great to be here. I'm not sure how come I get the first two F words in your series here.
Well, at least they have more than one syllable. You know, it's not the single syllable F word.
That's true.
That comes sometime later. I'm not sure how we're going to cover that, but I'm sure we'll figure out how to fit it in. So Dr. Michelle, can you tell us from your own teachings what forgiveness is and what it does?
Yes, for me, in my world, in my teachings, in my life personally, I see forgiveness as a way to set ourselves free. My very favorite quote about forgiveness has mostly been attributed to Carolyn Mays. Now, I'm not sure if she's the one who originally said it. I've heard other people attribute other authors or speakers to it, but here's how it goes. Hanging on to resentment is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. Yeah. So what happens in our life, of course, is that things occur that are hurtful. We are betrayed, we're abused, we're neglected, we're spoken to in a way we don't like. People do things that that hurt us or harm us. We have all had it happen. And then what happens is that we get caught up in hanging on to resentment or grudges, anger, frustration about that occurrence. And so forgiveness is a state that we find ourselves in that we have to, in many cases, in most cases, I think, consciously choose to work with ourselves such that we can look back on that situation and not wish that it were different. Now, being in unforgiveness is sort of like the essential notion of suffering that the Buddhists put out. Like, we're attached to the past being different than it was, and we can't ever change that. So we suffer. We suffer. The person whom we're upset with doesn't suffer from our unforgiveness, but we suffer because we're hanging on to this grudge that is full of toxicity and anger, and it may be very justified, and I get it. But when we ultimately surrender and become willing to say, how can I let this go? What I think we have to understand is that forgiveness is surrendering that past experience, and what it does is it frees us. It frees us to be in the now moment. It frees us to get on with our lives and not have that past experience in our field, if you will, of consciousness, our field of energy, and create a whole new experience of living if we're willing to do it.
Wow, very well said. So and I believe this is your belief as well, is that we're in a sea of energy, we're in a sea of vibration, and lack of forgiveness is not on the frequency or vibration of the life we would love to live.
No, I think because if we are suffering from unforgiveness, we the vibrational energy, and even if people are listening who aren't sure about that, they feel maybe that's a little too woo-woo from them. What we even know about our brains and the way our brains work is that our brains are like a big, huge Google search engine. So if I am constantly in the space of being a victim and blaming and in resentment and anger from my past, I'm seeing life through those eyes, and my eyes and my awareness will constantly go to why I can't have what I want, why I can't be who I want to be, who's keeping me back down, or even the worst case will attract to me more situations like this. Now, while I say that, I also believe fervently, and I want listeners to really understand this, that sometimes forgiveness takes a little time to get to. If we have been severely hurt or betrayed by someone, we are not saying, well, the next day you just forgive. No, that is not how it works. Forgiveness is a process. It's a journey. But there does come an awakening moment with every betrayal or suffering for those of us who are wanting to have the life we want to live, where we start to wake up to the fact that I can't have the life I want to live, be as free and fully expressed as I want to be, if I keep hanging on to being a victim about that thing from my past. There comes a moment, you know, you could a wake up moment, a wake up call, a cosmic 2x4, a come to Jesus moment, a come to Buddha moment, a come to whatever moment, where people start to go, I got to let this go. I have to, for my sake, I have to let this go. And so it's important, but it is a process. It can be a journey.
So the person that it truly benefits
is us.
Is us. If we have been wronged, it's not for the other person. It's for us.
It is. Now, of course, forgiveness does improve my relationships, especially if I'm still in a relationship with someone who's hurt me. Say, for example, my spouse or my partner or my beloved. If I've been hanging on to resentment, it's going to poison the well of that relationship for sure. And my willingness to forgive, because it shifts me, it makes me be different in the life of that relationship, and it can free up energy between two people. But in terms of why I do it, I'm not ever doing it for that other person, and nor am I in forgiveness, condoning that person's behavior. I'm never saying, well, forgiving you means it was okay that you did what you did. I may still, out of love for myself, need or want to have a boundary where I can forgive someone and still never see them again. I can forgive someone and still say, I'm not comfortable with them being in my life. But there's a difference between saying, I forgive you and I'm not comfortable with you being in my life versus I forgive you and you are a horrible person whom I hate. You know, there's a big difference, right? And so, that's the impact to us. And I've seen it in action in my life personally. I've watched people around me forgive. I have personally gone through a lot of forgiveness in my life of people who hurt, betrayed, abused me, and it has allowed me to just come into more aliveness the more I practice it.
Wow. So we're spiritual beings and we're having this human experience. Spiritual beings having a human experience. So which part of us is the part that needs that forgiveness, that requires being forgiven or forgiving others?
I think
others.
Both parts. I don't think it's either or. I think that from a human nature, we feel better about ourselves, our self-esteem rises, our ability to, like, victimhood and blame from a perspective and a vibrational energy are the lowest vibrations, I think, in terms of the human experience. That people who live, and it always surprises me that there are people who believe that something that happened to them 30, 40 years ago, they're not going to forgive it. They hang on and they chew on it and they hang on to it as though it's a badge of honor. You know, Carolyn Mays used to say, are you leading into your relationships with your suffering, with your pain? Hi, my name is Michelle. I am the child of abuse and witness domestic violence in my home. If that's the first thing I'm leading with when I'm meeting people, or I'm thinking, I can't wait to get that into the conversation so people see how hard it's been for me, that energy is just from a psychological standpoint as a human being, from a self-esteem standpoint as a human being, from an ego standpoint as a human being, it doesn't serve me in my relationships or in my ability to move forward with what I want to do, because it's just always the mindset that I come from. And from a spiritual perspective, here's the thing that I think is really shocking sometimes to people. The universal presence, the divine that I believe in, the God that I believe in, and even the God that Jesus talked about and many spiritual teachers have talked about, that God is a loving God. In the New Testament, Jesus came to bring a covenant of love and talked of a God that loved us all no matter what we'd done, the most unconditional loving presence there is. Now, that isn't always the way Christianity portrays God, but that's, I think, what Jesus was trying to say. And so from a spiritual standpoint, the more I, as a spiritual being, learn to forgive and let go, the more I'm being God-like. I'm living my life the way God lives, in that there's nothing you or I or any human being has ever done that has kicked us out of the kingdom of heaven, has kicked us out of God's love and acceptance. And I remember one of the first lessons I had about this is after I had my son. I have one child, and this child was born, and I remember being overwhelmed with this amazing parental love, and still am, for this child. I don't always like the things he does or the things he says to me or other people. I don't always agree with how he chooses to live his life. He and I are vastly different, opposites in many ways. But I know there is one thing I could tell, you know, he could go and do the worst thing you can imagine, and I would be shocked, upset, frustrated, and maybe even angry at him. But this deep love that I have for him, it's not going away. I will always love this being. And I realized, if I can love that way, why can't that which created us all love that way of myself and all other beings. Mm. So when we choose to love, where we say to ourselves, no matter what you did, I'm going to even try to understand what you did. I might try to put myself in your shoes. I might try to have a, I might try to think about how I might forgive you, how it might be that you did what you did. That might help. And get to this place of compassion, even about the worst offenders in our life, we are then more in alignment with our divine nature, and therefore we are being more spiritually connected and happy. So I think it's human and spiritual that this benefits us.
Yes, I love that. Thank you for that explanation. So there's something called mm-hmm. A Course in Miracles, and I admittedly have not attended that entire course. Do you offer that at Mile High?
We used to have a Course in Miracles group, and I think they stopped meeting. Might have been around okay. COVID, so I'm not sure how long ago it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know you have a vast calendar of events, both online and in person. And since I'm talking about it, what is the website that people could go to check out the courses that you have that come up, whether it's forgiveness or prosperity or Course in Miracles?
Well, thank
what
you
is
for
that
asking.
Website?
Our website is milehighchurch.org, and high is spelled H-I, like hi. So it's milehighchurch.org. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Not the other high.
Not the other high.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi. Okay. Well, going back to the Course in Miracles, there was a quote that I've seen from the Course of Miracles about forgiveness, and I want to read it so I don't mess it up. Forgiveness is a shift in perception that removes a block in me to my awareness of
yes,
love's
I love
presence.
That.
Yeah. Can you expound on that a little
yes.
bit? That's a lot of words.
Well, here's the thing. I can expound on that from maybe sharing a personal experience. Yeah.
Sure. That's
so,
the best.
I kind of alluded to it earlier, but I was raised with two parents who were very young when they had me. They were 17 and 18 respectively. My father was a very controlling rageaholic who regularly beat my mother and beat her before I was even born, when she was pregnant with me and after I was born. And I saw lots of violence in my home. I was scared of my father. He threatened me all the time. And then, yeah, when my mother finally, after 14 years of this, finally was able to extract herself from the marriage and take her three children out of it, then my father disappeared on us. I felt like I didn't get to see him much. And I was really angry with him. And I spent a lot of time working on my anger with him and knew that he was the primary person that I needed to learn to forgive. And I worked a lot on that. When I found Mile High Church, I was 15 years old, and I started taking classes when I was 18, and I started doing therapy and doing all sorts of stuff to really work. And I realized that at the core of my issues was going to be this, what felt like huge mountain of things I was upset with my father about that I was going to have to forgive. And one of the things that really pushed me across that line was having a child myself. As I mentioned earlier, that was transformational in not only my ability to love, but I had already begun to realize, okay, my father was raised in a family where he was taught how to be a father by a very dysfunctional man. And then my father took on the mantle of just doing what he knew. When I had my son, I was 35 years old, and it was hard. It was hard work as a parent, especially as my son got older and started having his own will and wanting to do his own thing and wanted to talk back and didn't want to put his shoes on when it was time to go to school. Just little things in the day as I was rushing around being busy. And it really dawned on me, gosh, I'm having a hard time, and I have committed to being a loving parent. I've done all this work on myself. And still, it's not always easy to be this loving, kind, easygoing parent, and my father was 18. 18 years old, had been modeled all of this dysfunctional behavior from his father. And what happened is it pushed me over the line in terms of my total compassion for, wow, that must have been hard. I can't even imagine how hard that was. And I felt my heart just open. And it really was like a part of me was stuck in this timeline of my childhood and my teen years, angry with my father. And it felt like it returned me to the love that I am. And I became more in integrity, more whole, by just letting go and having the littlest bit of compassion and being willing to forgive him. And it changed my relationship with him forever. It was like, okay, yeah. So that's what that quote kind of reminds me of, that the willingness to do that returns us to the love that we really are, because I could love him then and respect him more and understand more.
Well, and he wasn't in the work that you were in, and you were older. Yeah. And I heard you say something about compassion. I think compassion is the
beginning
of
forgiveness.
It really is.
There are so many ways to open the door to compassion, but I do think that sometimes we have to ask ourselves tough questions. Like, we sometimes hold people in anger and resentment when we ourselves have done exactly what they've done to us. Or if we're honest, we would possibly do exactly what they did to us if we were in their shoes. Or as Oprah says, if they'd known better, I think Mary Morris Stevens says this, if they'd known better, they would have done better. And so giving people an understanding that people are often scared, ignorant, full of fear themselves, and out of that will make very poor choices. And parents especially were often parented by people who taught them horrible patterns and behaviors. You know, we all got horrible things from our parents, and we will pass them on until someone has the courage to say, you know, it stops here. I'm going to be the one to stop it.
Yeah.
And the first step I'm going to take to stop it is I'm going to forgive the people who did it to me. And that will free me from the pattern so I don't repeat the pattern to anybody else. Otherwise, if I'm full of this anger and resentment and this sense that you should never do what they did to me, then I'm going to be tempted to have that in my energy and behave in exactly the same way towards my kids, my spouse, whatever. So the pattern interrupt is often compassion and forgiveness.
Yes. Wow. Very powerful. Well, thank you for your example, your stories, your wisdom, and your insights. Yes, very, very powerful. I just love this topic. So, like I said, this is part one and of a two-part series. And so when we come together again with Reverend Michelle, Dr. Michelle, we're going to talk about some practices or some key ways we can interrupt our unforgiveness, our anger, and to help us on our journey to forgive, not just other people, but ourselves. So make sure you tune in next time. This is To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Michelle, thank you for being here with us. And we'll see you all next time. Take care. Thank you for joining me on To Your Greatness. If you're inspired by what you heard and are ready to take a deeper dive into your own life's purpose, I'd love to offer you a complimentary life reflection session. In this session, I'll help you get clearer about what's been holding you back and how you can rediscover the greatness that lies within you. If this is something you would love, I invite you to head to my website, toyourgreatness.net, where you can take the first step in this journey. Spots are limited, so claim yours today. You are so much more than what you do for others. I believe there is a dream inside you just waiting to be fulfilled. If you agree, I invite you to take that first step and visit www.toyourgreatness.net right now. I can't wait to meet with you. My name is Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Remember, your greatness lies within you. See you next time. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to subscribe and keep listening. Remember to like, share, and review this podcast to help other listeners like you find their way to this heart-centered community. Thank you so much.